Anyone else? Ms. McLaughlin?
I wanted to know a little bit more about transition planning. So I know that we've already approved some move-up days. I think some move-up days have occurred. What would be the plan if this happened to be approved? What would be the plan for these transitions for these students prior to school ending?
Right, the leadership team talked about that. Of course, we couldn't move on it without board approval of the reorganization plan, but we would make plans to give opportunities for students to move up, if you would, those grades that are affected that haven't already gone through that process.
Prior to school ending?
Yes.
Okay. There was some comments on social media about the garden at Brown Valley School. So I'm wondering if there's space at CTMS to build a garden?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, there's space. We see that as an opportunity for the Round Valley Garden to continue to be cultivated at Round Valley through those grades. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And then we would look for opportunities for where we could place a sixth grade garden at CTMS. I'm sure they would welcome it. I mean, they worked at a wonderful garden here in the courtyard as well. So, yes.
Thinking about Mr. Hespe's presentation, and I'm just wondering about the idea of neighborhood schools. So to me, sitting on the board and having been a parent of three students, one still in the district, the transitions were always challenging, not having, you know, the same children in the same school for very long. So this looks like less transitions. What's the advantage to not maybe breaking it into neighborhood schools and sticking with the same model? What's your experience with that? So instead of having like two K-3 schools, having the model that we have in place?
Yeah, well, I think there are advantages and disadvantages to using either one of the models. A lot of the larger school districts find it very difficult to configure attendance zones in a way that brings fairness, a sense of fairness in the community. So normally they will not want to go a 3K-8 model. And so I think prevalent in Somerset and Hunterdon is the model that you're using, you don't want to make those attendance zones. You want to, you have three transitions, which is not an extraordinary number of transitions, especially since you're part of a regional high school district. So I think you have a prevalent model that you're using, and I've not seen any research that says that's a bad model.
Okay. Just thinking about facilities, planning, and moving. So could you talk, Dr. Fiander, thanks, Mr. Hespe, a little bit more about what...
I'll move the microphone closer. Thinking about transition planning, and if this plan were to occur, thinking about some staff obviously would stay in their schools, some staff would move. Could you talk to us a little bit about what you anticipate in terms of moving? I know that we mentioned having a moving company, but could you maybe elaborate a little bit more on what that might look like?
Well, there would be a sequence to it. We would do internal moves first. The principals would outline what internal moving would have to be done. We would get that set. So let's just take CTMS. Yeah. Thank you. I'm saying in terms of moving, there's a sequence to it. You would do all your internal moves, those who are staying in any internal moving that's taking place in each building. And then you would begin bringing those over who are coming from another. So Mrs. Hammond would have the building all set up, and let's say sixth grade is just going down this hallway. That would be cleared out, set up for sixth grade. They would go to Round Valley, pack, pick up, move. And also we have purge, clean, move, clean. So we have a system. And there are people who do this and who have walked through it. In fact, I think Mr. Foy in his young days was on a moving, and he talked to us about the sequence.
I went and got my doctorate, so I wouldn't have to move furniture anymore.
Okay, so you wouldn't have to move furniture. So there's a whole process, and we're using an external company to do that.
Okay, and just thinking about summer, we're planning on still having the rec program here?
Yes.
So would we, I'm just thinking about how would that
work? We're sequencing it.
So we start with the lower and move up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just thinking also about the opportunities. I was listening to some of Mr. Hespe's comments about opportunities. So I'm looking at advantages and disadvantages, and it's hard for me to see that many disadvantages from my perspective, looking at opportunities for students. So third graders would be offered opportunities for instrumental music, which they weren't previously, right?
Right.
What other opportunities do you think are advantages in this model?
Well, I think sixth grade would reap a lot of them. I mean, there's so many things that happen at the middle school. Some of those would be involved with other students in seventh and eighth grade. Some would be just appropriate for them. And we have built into our thinking adding additional advisors and clubs and sponsors for the sixth graders. So they'll be doing things that are more middle school inclined in this with their classmates.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Dogana?
So I just have a quick question, not really a question, just more of like an understanding. So basically, Spruce Run would have the preschool and the pre-kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So they would not need a principal, correct? You would have an administrator?
One of the plans that we have for the preschool pre-K, where there would be the classrooms there, is to have our director of special services and her secretarial staff be housed there.
So what's the relocation of the principals?
Pardon me?
What would be the relocation of the principals? Would there be a relocation?
The staffing of the principals would also be finalized in June, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
Can you please speak into the microphones? None of us can hear you.
We don't all have microphones, sir, but we will do our best. Thank you.
Wow, that was good.
I think Lana has questions.
Lana.
Yes.
Hold on.
Thank you. Are we currently fully implementing the middle school model, as even though it's in two buildings?
When you say implementing the middle school model, there are many components to that. Departmentalization is one. Common team planning time for team members to meet to talk vertical and horizontal articulation is another piece. And a third really important part is an advisor-advisee program. Is this not working?
No. You can't turn your head, yeah.
Oh, I can't look when I'm talking. Okay.
It's hard. I know that.
But is that currently fully implemented now?
Hold on, I have a suggestion. Do you think if you could go to that microphone, it would be better? When she gave the presentation, could you hear it better from that microphone? Would you mind, Dr. Feinhunter, doing that?
Pardon me?
They're table mics. They're not stand mics. Unfortunately, they don't really work that well.
That one works.
Maybe we should get some body mics.
Stage.
Test.
Just. No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, is that currently occurring?
The departmentalization, the advisor-advisee program, no.
Even though they're across two buildings?
Pardon me.
She wants to know if the middle school model is being practiced in sixth grade.
Departmentalization is being practiced in sixth grade and in seventh and eighth grade, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for members of the board?
Yeah. Close? Okay. I've been advised never to do math in public, but I'm going to do a little bit of it. The class sizes, what's the mean New Jersey class size that we are always trying to maintain or be below? How close are we?
It's all dependent on your district.
So we've
there
got...
Are, the only guidelines the state has is for pre-K, I believe is 15, and kindergarten. Other than that, it's district determined.
Are you asking, Dr. Ford, are you asking for guidelines or current averages?
Well, if we are striving to maintain below a certain class, at or below the mean class size of the...
What we talked about was maintaining where we were today and according to our policy.
Right, and we don't want to go above...
Where we are today.
Yeah, so we are at 20.9, 20.8, and we'd go to 20.4, but Raritan Valley... Township Middle School, that'll go up to 75% capacity. If we get to a tipping point for class size, are we going to be able to accommodate expanding to, I guess, another class in a given grade?
Yes, because of the capacity, we're so...
And all these necessary supportive rooms beyond the classrooms?
Pardon me?
I don't, if there are any additional supportive classrooms, I don't know if that's the case, but you've got the classes for the kids, but then you'd have any additional extracurricular activity supporting rooms. And these can, we have the room with a move to expand still and maintain that tipping over.
To reach our total capacity, we would have to add 874 more children as of today. And with the demographics continuing to decline and looking at a plateau in 5 years of 1,170 children, even if the district began to grow, you're still looking 5 to 7 to 10 years out before you would reach that, unless something extraordinary happened in terms of building and bringing in
hundreds and hundreds of children.
Second question. You've got plans for aspirations for Spruce Run. That's longer term. So next year you'd have 35 kids plus the staff members you just mentioned still here. What happens with the space as it just sits? You know, is it, there obviously is still going to be some maintenance costs, right, with the leftover room. You know, what are the obligations still for the unused space? So we're still going to be incurring some costs.
Right, and that's still in the budget. We didn't reduce it. We don't count that as additional savings, although I imagine you use less electricity, and those, I think there would be some savings in it, but we would maintain it and keep it clean, and we will begin moving on, as the board agrees to, moving on those projects.
Sure, and we all want them to occur as quickly as possible, but property sits, things don't occur. Just want to understand how long. And then class size. Just from a communication perspective, we've got more meetings this summer. So what are the expectations of communication? We've got budget that will have to occur. Staffing is next month?
All until the board meeting, yes.
Okay, and then we don't have an August meeting. Do we intend on, for a project update, do we intend on some kind of communication to make sure our August 17th goal that we've communicate that we've achieved it or where we stand?
So Ms. McLaughlin and I have spoken with Dr. Finander and
they can't hear.
Sorry,
you.
Guys.
Ms. McLaughlin, myself, and Dr. Finander have talked about adding a meeting in August so that we can provide any update live that needs to occur.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right,
Lana, anyone else?
Yeah, sorry. Lana, I have another question. I'm sorry.
Could I go first?
No problem.
So I know that we talked already about the operational challenges that were in March of 2016, and Kevin already asked a question that debunked the first one about the back then potentially having to create additional space for sixth grade. So I know we don't have to do that. Can you just run through what the structural changes have been since March of 2016 to prepare for the consolidation?
Since 2016.
And I know you'll probably have to jump in, Maria.
In terms of structural changes, do you mean building?
It says structural changes here, but I think that there were also infrastructure changes. Like, I know that we added, technology, the internet capability and all of that to Round Valley. So can we just go through?
We've also added technology, connectivity,
We've also added connectivity, networking, all of that. Yeah. In anticipation of this coming down the road at some point in time. So those are structural changes that have occurred inside the building.
Okay. And as far as transportation goes, on average, will the children be on the buses for any longer amount of time than they are now?
No, according to Jerry Ford, the ride will average 30 to 35 minutes. There will be a student on a bus for a minute, and the longest is 46 minutes, and he does not see that changing.
Okay.
Can I ask one follow-up question to that?
Yeah.
If you know me, you know that transportation is a bugaboo of mine. I've been on this board for a long time. An important question to ask for transportation, there are very specific and set rules with regard to where buses can pick up children based on their age. Because we're consolidating buildings, will those rules change? Will kids who previously needed by statute to be picked up in front of their homes, will that change? Will they now need to walk to the end of a cul-de-sac? Will there be any change to that? It's very important.
There can't be, and he understands which grades, and so no. No.
So there won't be a second grader has to walk four houses down or towards
that? If that's not been the practice, then will not be the practice.
It's important that be clear. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, and just one more about capacity. So we have enough classrooms to fit everyone in each school?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
For the savings, I just want to be clear that the amount of $900,000 is unrelated to if we put anything else additional into Spruce Run, and that it's not, we're hoping that we do something. It is completely occurring without.
The largest part of our budget and any other school district's budget is salary and benefits. And because the redeployment of personnel and the resignations and retirements bring us this perfect opportunity, that's it. That's the savings. The significant part is salary and benefits and the transportation. Those are the two numbers we're putting forth. I anticipate there will be more, and that's operating Spruce Run, paying for the electricity, keeping it open. It will house children, our children. So yes, those are the two pieces we're looking at.
And I am just a little concerned about trying to do this move in about 78 days. And I know in previous years, I know, and I'm bringing up a little bit of the past, but I know full day kindergarten, the vote was pushed almost an entire year because in March it was not feasible to install it by September of whatever year we did it. I can't recall. So I am just wondering, on this end, we are looking to implement what I consider much larger of a move and much larger of an undertaking, and trying to put it in 78 days.
I just want to interject on that.
If you go back in the presentation, this was actually pushed off for 2 years.
Yeah. But I want to jump back on the kindergarten thing.
Hold on.
I want to jump back on the kindergarten thing.
Guys, public comments is going to happen. Be patient.
On the kindergarten thing, one of the reasons we waited is that we didn't have a full day curriculum, which was a much larger process, and it was not fair to the students or the teachers to implement full day kindergarten without fully vetting it and making sure, and we went on Melissa's recommendation that this is what we needed to do. So I don't see these as different. I think this is a challenge facility-wise, but our teachers aren't changing, our curriculum isn't changing.
No, I understand
that. So I think that's an important difference. And the other thing, I want to jump off what you just said with the savings, with the personnel and transportation, it's an annual savings, correct?
Yes.
So we would save on that transportation cost annually?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask, you've mentioned several times, maybe I'm not loud enough.
I don't know how we
You've mentioned several times that we sort of have this opportunity with the number of retirements and resignations and so forth. Is this a normal number of retirements, resignations, and departures of one kind or another, or not?
I don't know what normal is for this district.
It depends. Okay, so I'm hearing no.
I can answer that.
All right, so that means that if we waited another year, the potential would be that fewer people would be retiring, and therefore there would be fewer open positions to offer when we start school in the 2019-20 year. Is that?
Again, if that were true, but I don't know the pattern here, and it's
okay. Yeah. But if that were to be the case, if we go on the premise that this is an unusually large number of departures, which leaves an unusually large number of positions to be filled, so even in a year where we are eliminating positions because of the reorganization, we are still able to retain the personnel that we all appreciate, love, want to hang on to. So we have sounds to me like we have just this one time opportunity to accomplish something that we all want to do.
All I know is I've done the math, and I've done the staffing scenarios with the administrators, and I know that there's a seat at the table for the non-tenured staff that we have let go, and other positions that will be available, and we're able to save $800,000. I don't know that I could promise that will happen next year. It could. I don't know. I just think it's extraordinary that that's the position that the board is now able to make a decision on.
Thank you.
Dr. Pointer, may I ask a follow-up to Ms. Brown's question?
Let me make a follow-up question. Can you just touch on, before you made the recommendation to the board, the level of detail that you've gone through, so that when you said that you wanted to start this in September, how you assured that this was tasks, the tasks involved with this could be completed, please?
Sure. Well, there's actually a software program called projectmanager.com. It task analyze every piece of a project that you're doing. It assigns to a person, it assigns a date, it assigns a completion task. It flows that if this doesn't get done, this doesn't get done, this doesn't get done. And we have done that and attached to the feasibility committee, to our consultants, and we have been able to stay on track looking at all these pieces. It's an extraordinary amount of detail. And what's really embarrassing is that when I met with the feasibility committee the other night, my brain was gone. It was just gone. There's so many details. And all they wanted was a simple answer, and I was making it so much more complicated. And it was good that we met, because they helped me to understand what's current, what's coming, what's current, what's coming. So there's a lot of detail, and we would be able to share it. It's been hundreds and hundreds of hours, because this is really important that we understand all the pieces of it.
Okay. I think Lana's first point was sort of addressed in a number of ways, in a very direct way. What is your confidence level on this move? Why now? And is the timing a problem?
I think the timing is only, the timing is not a problem. Can we do this? Absolutely we can do this. Can this be extraordinary? Yes, I do believe it can be. But people have to have the opportunity to understand more and have conversations about it and help me to understand what their concerns are so that we can work through it. Can it be done? Absolutely. Is it a moment in time for this district that will bring about opportunities for children that I don't know we would see in the future? Absolutely. But we have to have some more communication. And I've already been in touch with the leadership of the teachers organization, because I want to sit down. Should the board support my recommendation, I want to sit down tomorrow and talk about how we can begin communicating and understanding what they need to know in order to make this work. Because we can do this together. We can do this.
Okay.
Can I ask another question? Do you happen to know what the enrollment in the district was the year the middle school was built?
That was 10 years ago.
I know. I asked that question because there was a lot of animosity at the time. I didn't sit on the board. There was a lot of animosity in the community about building the school. And there was a thought process that it wasn't needed. And there was a feasibility study done. And they looked at enrollment trends. And I feel like we're in the downward trend. And so I support not selling the school. I support not closing the school, because I think that depending on what happens in the future, we may have a trend in enrollment. But seeing that we built this beautiful school and now we have an opportunity to transition to less schools and save money, it's hard for me to sit here and look at what the disadvantages are. So I support your decision.
Kevin, to answer most of my question, but this kind of move can only occur in the summer, right?
Yes.
So it's the same amount of time that would occur any given year.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the
exactly. Yes.
So it's you now know your staffing.
Yes.
Now you can start to prep. So this would be the same frame of time.
Yes.
Whether it was this year or next year.
We have 78 days to do it next summer.
So it's exactly. It's not like you can get more time next year to do this.
Yes. Any other questions for Dr. Fyander this evening?
Hold on.
Sorry.
No, and I understand that. And I just know that, I'm going to give an example. I plan bulk school supplies every year. Not this year, thank goodness. But I plan it, and it gets there. I plan it 2.5 weeks beforehand. Last year, it didn't show up till the day before school start, or day of school starting. So I understand there are things we cannot, the best laid plans are great, but I do feel that this has been, I don't want to say kicked into high gear, but I feel that new information has not been put out in almost a year. Information that was asked for a year ago that was not, has just been given to the taxpayers 24 hours ago, and yes, on the board, I received it prior to look at it and make an informed decision, which I want to make. And it's not that I don't think that this plan has, I believe it has value. I am just concerned about how we are going about it. Because I don't want to just be... No, I understand. And I have been to every single one of these meetings, except for the 22nd of last year, because I went to the 8th. But I have been there, I am aware of the information, but I still feel that there's information that people need time to digest with, and for me, I don't want to just be fiscally responsible. I want to have a good relationship with the community, and I don't feel that that is there right now. So I don't feel comfortable voting on this tonight.
Ms. Brennan, I respect your decision, and I respect your comments. I've been on the board for many years. I was on this committee. I think Mr. Malloy was.
Excuse me.
That's very disrespectful.
We have a process. We expect people to be respectful of each other in the community. I would kindly ask the members of the public not to insult or shout or impugn anyone here on this anyone on this dais or anyone in the audience. Thank you. That is absolutely uncalled for.
Many of us have been on this board when this committee started. Information has come out, as I said before. It's been in a series of meetings. It's been on the website. It's been in board briefs. It's been in the Clinton Township newsletter. And the only thing that's new, really, is the cost information, transportation information. We're just moving children from one school to another. And so I support Dr. Feyender's decision. I think it makes a lot of sense. I've seen the detail she's put around it. I've seen how she's worked backwards from the first day of school up until this point in time. There is a buffer in there. If there are any things that don't go exactly as planned. And so I'm very confident in her experience and her expertise, along with the help of Mr. Hespe, to get this absolutely accomplished and allow us to enhance and improve the education that we're giving the children in Clinton Township, in addition to saving the taxpayers some money.
Really quickly, Lana, everyone on this board respects your opinion, and good for you for speaking your conscience. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Vote the way you want. Good for you.
And again, it's not that I don't see that it has...
Lana, I totally get it.
Yeah.
You are one of a body. Nobody expects this board to vote in a monolithic block on every issue. You're an independent person who was elected to running as an independent person. You have that right. I'm proud that you're here exercising it.
You're here.
Anybody else have any questions for Dr. Feyender or Mr. Hespe this evening? No? Seeing none?
Do you guys want to take a break?
No, I think these people have been here waiting a long time. Let's let them speak.
No, I just don't.
So, at this time, Dr. Quinn, do you want to come back here? I'd like to open the floor to our first our public comments section on tonight's presentation and Dr. Feyender's recommendation only. Tonight's topic has gathered a large number of members from the community and members of the staff.
Can I make a quick statement real quick? Guys, everybody's got to speak tonight, and I know that everybody's got a lot on their mind. To do all we can to accommodate, I know sometimes people roll their eyes at the three-minute guideline. Please respect the three-minute guideline so everybody who took the time to show up here tonight has their chance to say their piece. Thank you.
To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual on this topic only, our bylaw 167 limits comments and questions 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public. The comments section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. If you'd like to address the board and ask Dr. Feyender questions, please sign in at the desk here and at the podium over there. Approach the microphone, state your name and address. You may make comments regarding this presentation and ask questions. When a member of the community is done asking questions, we'll take three questions at a time or listen to three comments at a time. Dr. Feyender and Mr. Hespe will answer those questions. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. We'll be limiting this public comment section on this topic only to 1 hour, and we look forward to hearing from all of you.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Do we want to do alternating?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, okay, this one works. Hi, my name is Penny Perez McFadden. I'm a speech-language specialist working at the Round Valley School. I have spent the last few hours trying to absorb all the things that some board members have obviously already decided to do to the district. With the way this decision is being made, I am left to believe that no one on the ad hoc feasibility committee know or understand the true impact of this decision. There are so many ways this decision negatively impacts the students of this district, and I know I'm not the only staff member who can make such a statement. Again, I stand before you and I am confused by some of the board members' actions and more so by their inactions. Don't misunderstand my point here. It is not that I object so much to the reorganization of the district schools. It is more that I object to the way this decision is being made. It is irresponsible of this committee to suggest that the reorganization can be achieved in such a short period of time. It is unfair to make these decisions without the input of the professionals that work for the district. The board cannot allow the students and the staff of this district to be reduced to chattel. It is disrespectful to the community as a whole to make this decision without their input. To be given 24 hours notice by this committee about the change that is being forced on our committee, on our community in less than 3 months is wrong. I stand up here tonight and call foul. The board states that they want to assure the residents that the board makes final decisions. It will be guided by the principles of one, providing the highest quality education to Clinton Township children, and two, making fiscally responsible decisions. I propose that the board also make educationally responsible decisions by working with the administration, the staff, and the parents of this district to make this reorganization as positive and supportive as possible for our students. That cannot be done in an 11-week timeline set by this committee. Given the time needed, the administration and staff of this district could and should be allowed to make this reorganization happen in a way that minimally disrupts the education of our students. The plan presented here tonight falls way short of what this district is truly capable of achieving. This plan does not reflect fiscal responsibility. It only reflects the lack of respect some members of this board have for the students, the parents, and the hardworking people of this district. Thank you.
Alison Ford, 7 Oak Ridge Road, Annandale. I appreciate having the questions and answers sent through yesterday. I didn't appreciate so much reading them because I had such a busy day just before I went to bed last night and then waking up throughout the night having questions to write down. Throughout the document, special education is mentioned. It is mentioned in a very generic way. It's not clear to me whether the special education programs at Spruce are going to be the self-contained classrooms or whether the self-contained classrooms will stay in the buildings where they currently operate or go with their peer grades. So for example, I have an IEP for a student for fourth grade next year at PMG. Is he actually going to be at PMG? Is he going to be at Spruce Run in the special education programs, or is he going to be at Round Valley School with his peer group? Within the changes in the different schools, one of the things that I'm always concerned about is whether there's adequate room for all the support services that go to all our students, not just the students in the self-contained classrooms. There's occupational therapy, there's speech therapy, there's reading specialist programs. I do not want to see these put into places whereby it's a closet or a hallway. I want to make sure the sensory rooms are still available because there's a lot of children who use them, a lot without even IEPs. There are children that need the release of being able to go somewhere and let off some steam. I'm also slightly concerned about the fact it's mentioned 30 classrooms would have to move. I know you did say within your presentation that there are internal moves as well, who is going to be responsible for the internal moves? Are the teachers expected to pack their rooms and move them? Looking at the way the classes are going to be set up, you're going to have three completely new years of students at PMG with K first and second. There will be one set of teachers who I would presume would be moved to the back of the school because they got the oldest kids and therefore furthest away. Interspersed amongst them would be the kindergarten rooms where the toilets are. If there is a special, a self-contained classroom, they have a toilet as well. And I don't know that there's enough classrooms for kindergarten and the self-contained classroom. So that's a bit of a question. And then you'd have first grade. So there's an awful lot of moves there, not just, I think, 30 classrooms, if you take the whole school district into account. Right, I'm going to summarize this because I don't want to take up a spare room from everyone else. I really do hope everyone...
Mrs. Ford, your 3 minutes are up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Kathy Powers. I live at 1 Austin Hill Road. My questions are regarding the Spruce Run, making it into a preschool and pre-kindergarten. Has there been a business study to analyze whether the community will support it and will move their children out of maybe a paying situation at a Goddard or a Y or any of the privately funded and will move to a Spruce Run? And will it be done whether there's 20 kids or 50 kids that are going to sign up for it? Secondly, will this be a tuition-based program or is, I'm not quite, that was never really mentioned, whether this will be a tuition-based program. So if you are sending your three-year-old, for example, will they be able to go because it's Clinton Township schools or will they be paying private pay? And then we lead to the pre-kindergarten question because many districts have a pre-kindergarten and so of course that's tax funded. The other third question is certification wise. Will the teachers that be running the preschool and pre-K program at Spruce Run, will they all be certified teachers and all part of the Clinton Township faculty or will they be more, will it be more of a hourly daycare type of situation, running, not that I'm knocking that, I'm just saying, will there be certified teachers running the program at Spruce Run, or will, how, where are you getting your staff from? I think that's very key to developing it. And I was just wondering if a business plan was done to see if it's, how it will be implemented and how it will be funded, is the bottom line, and will it be staffed by Clinton Township certified, you know, thoroughly checked out teachers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Fiander will answer the questions of Mrs. Ford right now.
Mrs. Ford, I wanted to assure you that the move over the summer is minimally impactful so far.
Yeah. There will be no changes in related services.
That doesn't work. Okay, there will be no changes in related services, and self-contained classes would not all be relocated at Spruce Run School. In other words, it will be dependent on the children's needs, and there will be self-contained classes in each of the schools as needed. There was a question about a... Yes, there's absolutely adequate room for all the programs and the support services. Mrs. Powers, we have a previous business study, I don't see Mrs. Powers. We have a previous business study done by Dr. Labrera on the Child Caring Center. I want to distinguish between the two, the preschool and pre-K program we currently have. Of course, we would have certified staff, and they would continue to work with those children. We hope to increase that through offering opportunities with other districts that are very small and don't have programs in their schools. We've had a lot of conversations at the superintendent's roundtables about this. And also for the Child Caring Center, Dr. Labrera's study shows how that's done. I've been involved in two tuition-based childcare centers in previous jobs where I've worked, and so I anticipate that that will be a wonderful opportunity for the community, and it would definitely be tuition-based.
Good evening. Nicole Casello at 33 Cedar Grove Road. To pair off of the conversation that you're currently answering these questions in regards to the preschool Spruce Run program, any three-year-old who's coming off of an early intervention program that still needs services, I would assume that either option that you choose going forward, whether to maintain the school as they are or to move to the recommended program, would still provide the staffing and the services for those students who require those services that the state mandates the schools to provide.
Absolutely. And one of the parts of the plan is that our director of special services would be housed over there, so they're going to get the high quality attention in that area. She knows that business, yes.
And then this is more of a general statement for the room as a whole. I have been a resident of Clinton Township in Annandale since 2001, shortly after moving here without children at the time. My taxes went up by a third to build this beautiful school. We saw at the time the growth and the development of the amount of students that were coming into the town between the social situations in the surrounding areas and town's decisions to stop residential growth. We see this decline occurring. Since my children have been in the school district for the past 7 years, this conversation about the capacity of the schools and the concerns and the questions have been brought up to the board's attention and to the community's attention since at least 7 years from now. The committee was started 4 years ago to start the feasibility and determine what the options were, but the questions and the concerns had been going on several years prior to that. I do agree that I was shocked when I saw an email last night, but my statement I'd like to make to the room as a whole is that this is not a surprise. It's a situation that we have been looking at for a prolonged period of time, and I would hope that the board and the school administration has been working with the school staff throughout these years to make the decisions that they have come to. And if they haven't, I would say that that's where I would recommend the board and the administration explain why there might not have been staff involved. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Denise Stallone, 25 Greenbrier Lane in Annandale. I have two grandchildren at Spruce Run. It is a wonderful, wonderful school. It is fully used from the best of my ability to see it. I was there yesterday for the art show. I've been there for musical presentations, for all kinds of programs. They do an amazing job, and I would like to know when those capacity numbers were created. Were they created when the building was built, or were they created 5 years ago? In other words, when was the building built?
Spruce Run.
50s, 60s?
Spruce Run's about a 45 to 50-year-old facility.
Okay, so in...
How many?
65.
Okay, 65 years ago, capacity numbers were very high. So, like, I worked in a high school 30 years, and we had double the capacity 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They were putting 40 kids in a class. Everybody was squished together, you know? And now you have all these different programs and requirements, and you need more space. So those capacity numbers, I think, are wrong. I don't believe it. I see it at Spruce Run. They use the space very, very well. Also, I went to the affordable housing meeting, another done deal. And they're talking about 400 families coming in one place, and another few hundred coming in another place. I want to know, did you look at those numbers as possible people moving in? I mean, that's a lot of families with a lot of potential kids that you're going to be losing space for them if you close Spruce Run.
Sure.
I also think that a lot of what you're talking about is going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. Just to create whatever you're going to create is going to end up costing much more money than we always think it's going to cost, right? Costs go past where they're supposed to go. I moved here 2 years ago. I love it here, but I'm telling you, you people got to start changing your boards. Okay, I went to the city board, and you got to change your school boards, and we're going to be sinking, all of us, you know? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Faith Furman. I'm the school nurse at Spruce Run School. And first, I want to congratulate the board for bringing all of our community together. That's no easy feat. So, nice to see. I have lots of questions. And I'm thinking a lot of people behind me have a better way to ask those questions that probably I have too. So I thought I would ask the questions that might be unique to being a nurse in the district. I heard Dr. Fiander say tonight that because someone I love, Michelle Behe, is retiring, we don't need to hire another nurse. So that would mean, I think, Spruce Run would be without a nurse. And that also means we're thinking we're a campus. The middle school and Spruce Run are a campus, which means that's why you don't have to hire another nurse. I just want to share with you today, I sat down and I thought, I love my preschool students. It's like ripping my heart out to think I won't be with them or I might be with them. I don't know where I'm going to be. I sat down and I counted. In the month of May, I had 64 visits from preschool students. I had multiple observations. I needed to be present for many minutes, tens of minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, to observe students that might have required CPI, escorts, restraints, seclusion, what have you. That's a lot. You're asking a building of our most vulnerable students and staff to not have the support of a school nurse. We have students that have seizures. We have multiple food allergies. If you're asking the nurse that's going to be here at the middle school with its myriad of behavior problems, and you're going to ask that nurse to now also cover 64 preschool visits in 1 month, plus the state mandated annual health screenings, the state mandated preschool screenings for students being evaluated by the child study team, how is that nurse going to do that and spend their time here at the middle school now with another grade level that is going to be participating in sports and requiring sports physicals 3 seasons? So that's just one thing. In 2018, we will see our largest incoming kindergarten class.
Sorry.
I just want to offer that perspective. Thank you very much.
We're going to answer the series of questions that just came up now.
David, do you want to speak to the one that you said?
Yeah, sure. The question was, how do we know the building capacities are current? Every district in the state needs to develop a long-range facilities plan every 7 years, and those capacities are recalibrated in that long-range facilities plan. So that is constantly being updated. Another question was, are development proposals being included in the demographic study? The demographer will go to town hall and speak to the planning and zoning officials to understand developments that are being proposed or are coming online. So just two very quick FYIs on those.
As far as the school nurses, we will have one. What we've planned for the reorganization is 1.5 nurses here at Clinton Township Middle School, and the number of students that will be at Spruce Run School are anticipated to be between 30 and 35, but we will continue to look at that in all due respect to the work that Ms. Furman is talking about. The woman earlier asked about if we had been working with staff. I have generally been working with the administrative staff on the reorganizational plan. At this point, now that the information is available, as I said earlier in my introduction, I look forward to having continuous conversations with the teaching and support staff.
Good evening. My name is Nicole Spagnolo of 4 Glen Eagles Drive in Lebanon. I am a parent, a taxpayer, and also an employee of the school district. I have done maternity leave coverages for 5th grade and 4th grade. I'm currently the literacy support person for 5th grade, and will also be taking over a 5th grade position for the rest of this year. So I just wanted to make that full disclosure. So I'm hearing a lot of different things, and I took my notes. I didn't come prepared today, so this is everything I wrote down from our presentation. I hear that this took 4 years of analysis, and I'm hearing that it's going to take 2 months to implement. To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? If 4 years ago they started this analysis, 2 years ago you said, let's maintain the status quo for 2016-17, 2017-18. Okay, so now we're here, but in those past 2 years, I haven't seen the plan evolving. I haven't seen any preparation, and maybe you have, but it hasn't been shared with anybody else, to see how we got from 2 years ago, where they said take 2 years and then see where it goes, to having to make this happen September 4th. So to me, the timing is not making sense to me. So what I would urge is to allow a year to do it well. If this is what the board believes is the right thing to do for the district, for the buildings, for the students, do it well. Don't do it fast. Don't do it because, you know, we had a lot of people retire and it makes financial sense now. Do it for the students. Do it when it makes sense for the students. Because right now, I'm not seeing that their social, emotional, and academic needs are being met by rushing this decision. Right now, they have 15 days left of school. I'm thinking about our fifth graders who right now are thinking about, okay, I'm gonna move downstairs next year. I'm gonna have to learn my locker combination. I'm gonna have to change classes. Today, fifth graders don't change classes except for one period a day. They're in their homeroom all day. For one period a day, they move to a separate room, they come back. If we're talking about a middle school model, we have that in our sixth grade in Round Valley today. They change classes. They're on teams, they participate in clubs, they're following that model. To rip that away from our fifth graders today cheats them out of that year to grow one more year. To take them from a fifth grade model where they don't change classes and put them in a middle school where they're with seventh graders, eighth graders, those are the kids getting ready for high school, not our fifth graders today. Give them another year and do it well. That's all I have to say.
Hello, Jeff Smith, 6 Ash Court in Clinton. You started the discussion by talking about listening, and I am extremely disappointed in the board that they feel that a 1 hour listening to the community is what's required for you to then move and make a decision. It seems rather unbelievable to me that with 4 hours, 4 years, and all the hours that has been put in, the amount of interaction with the community is basically drummed down to the next 45 minutes or so. So I think that's really a poor execution by the board. The biggest question I have is it's extremely unclear to me where the majority of the savings are actually going to occur. It was stated that this is going to be done through staffing, And at one point I saw 18 retirements, non-renewals, resignations, three savings of positions, but then also three newly created positions, meaning you have minus 12 gap somewhere. So that and $1 million, I can understand. But then later in the presentation, you talked about 20 non-tenured and 20 to 24 open positions, which would tell me that if you're going to fill your open positions, you aren't really saving any number of positions in total. The net savings is effectively none. So I really don't understand where $800,000 to $1 million is actually coming from. And at that, I was really hoping that that would be explained tonight, and it wasn't. There's not going to be, with the demographics that we believe to be true, I don't see how a for-profit preschool will actually draw enough people to actually ever be profitable. If there were these new people coming in and everything else that we could draw from, then we wouldn't have the issue we have in declining enrollment. So those really do not match up. Maybe just to finish up, you know, you talked about the savings, and they're going to get passed back to us. But you couldn't commit to that because you don't control that. And I really don't expect to ever see any of that money. And if you take the $1 million, spread it out over everybody who's actually paying taxes and tax-paying units, it's really a small incremental change in the total taxes that I pay. And I don't really see that as a good cost-benefit to me and the children, my children. So I would ask that you vote not to accept this plan because there's not enough clarity in the actual savings that have been predicted. There is not, I think, a really sufficient understanding of how the Bruce Run will be converted into a profit-making institution, and the expected return back to the community is just not the outlying process. Thank you.
Chuck Roberto, 8th grade language arts teacher and president-elect of the Clinton Township Education Association.
Congrats.
Good evening. Thank you.
Congratulations.
We'll see about that, but we know a lot of time, thought, and work went into the preparation of this reorganization. The fact that all of the existing K-8 classes can be consolidated to three buildings without increasing class sizes reinforces that this is a sound decision. And to do this while saving $900,000 is remarkable. As Mrs. Gitto discussed at the May 14th board meeting, though, we question the timing of this meeting and the decision to move for the 18-19 school year. There is one fundamental difference between the current plan and waiting one more year for the consolidation. There are currently 16 teacher working days remaining this school year. We realize that this plan calls for a moving company to take care of the moving of materials, but we have situations where having a third party come in to pack up and move things will not work. We have teachers who are currently sharing rooms with co-teachers. With the reorganization and the natural consolidation of staffing positions due to declining enrollment, we have teachers who will be teaching different grades than they are currently teaching. If they are sharing a room with someone who is not moving grades, how will the moving company know what moves where or what was purchased by the district and what is the moving teacher's property? There's very little time for people to prepare for these moves, but time is what these teachers will need if all the correct materials are to be in the correct rooms for the start of the next school year. Where will that time come from with 16 days remaining, 15 of which will be dedicated to the children of our district, who always come first? Thank you.
That was a comment.
Yep. Mr. Smith, thank you for your question about the positions. I don't think I did articulate that very well, but in a very concise way, should the district stay organized as it is, we would need 10 more positions than if we reorganize. The average teacher's salary, and benefits in this district, I'm counting salary and benefits, is $80,000 to $85,000. So 10 positions less are needed for the reorganization than if we stayed organized as we are next year. And therein lies the savings of 800 $100,000. And of course, with
cost
the
avoidance.
Pardon me?
Cost avoidance, not savings. It's okay. Thank you.
Good evening. Alice Creed, Old Mountain Road in Lebanon. The statements specific to the cost of education to our district are compelling, and full disclosure of the liabilities is appropriate. The conclusiveness of the feasibility of closing schools and future four schools presentations is marginalized by the data, which does not clearly evidence the proposed solutions through actual trends, but often substantiates a potential outcome or assumption with point-in-time references. As a result, the overwhelming finding identified in this material is less should a decision be adjudicated tonight to close or otherwise affect change to the Spruce Run school facility, then in hindsight was building the Clinton Township Middle School premature at a point when their overall economy was digressing into recession. Now is not the time for blame or finger pointing, but a mature understanding of the impact of executive decision resulting from pressures to rapidly offset multi-factor community changes. I want to add a bit more for the board's consideration. One, the 2015 Supreme Court ruling that the courts would assume responsibility for determination of municipal obligations as it relates to the Fair Housing Act. Clinton Township's third round affordable housing obligation have been agreed at 337 units, with a majority being new construction. B, said construction is mandated to begin and end within 2 to 10 years. C, 337 units do not include non-affordable housing, and they will go up alongside of it. Two, Merck and Unicom Global negotiations for Merck site in Reddington continues. And three, the fact that the impact of the CT tax levy has not been leveraged to a point of consistent dependency. The potential district reorganization Q&A is a more succinct plan on how to cut costs immediately and move CTSD more slowly towards a potential school shutdown while revenue generating options are explored. But it is short-sighted as it does not include projections and impact around community growth. Now is the time for a targeted assessment that includes a 5 to 10 year forecast, detailing the impactors imminent to our community to allow for a more strategic implementation period for appropriate change that includes growth impact and tax implications to our school district. In summary, I do believe there's an opportunity for change that could immediately alter the cost structure of the CTSD and so change the tax burdens to the community, but not without causing an unintended impact to our children. Furthermore, by proxy of the affordable housing legislation and resulting changes in enrollment, the potential is we would very much find ourselves once again in a position of being undersized. Finally, it is neither school facilities nor classrooms that ensure successful educational outcomes for our children. It is our educators, our teachers, and our administrators. In closing, I beseech this board and our community to pause for a longer review to consider what the impact of another premature decision could cost our community. An untimely and incomplete solution is no solution at all.
Your 3 minutes are up. Thank you.
Thank you.
What was your last name?
Creed.
C-R-E-E.
C-R-E-E.
C-R-E-E. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Roberta Grambor, and I'm a teacher at Patrick McGarren School. I've been with the district for 19 years. I was here when Dr. Labrera made his presentation 2 years ago. I think that the presentation you did tonight and your proposal has very exciting opportunities for our district, and I look forward to seeing many of them being implemented in the future. My children benefited from 3 years of preschool at Voorhees High School. It was a wonderful opportunity for me to send them to that preschool. I think having a professional development center at Spruce Run is a brilliant idea, and the idea of keeping our special education students in Hunterdon County closer to home and not having them have to get on a bus and go out to Madison is a wonderful thing. But I am very disappointed that the stakeholders, the community, the parents, and the teachers were not included in this transition. I was here 8 years ago when we made the switch, and I was at Spruce Run for 8 years, and I've been at Patrick McGarren for 11 years, and we did have months, to transition. We knew we were leaving. We worked with our principals over the summer. We were hired to come as committee. It was a challenge. And when we got together as the second grade school and from Spruce Run and the third grade school from Patrick McGarren, we worked really hard to come together as a positive school community. And one of the things that happened when we did that summer transition is we noticed some holes and some problems. For example, when second grade left Spruce Run, we had to leave behind the developmental resources and materials. If anybody's taught elementary literacy, they know you need hundreds, maybe thousands of books. And you can't just go into that book room and say, okay, we're going to take these and you take those, because we have second graders reading at a third grade level and we have third graders reading at a second grade level. So when that happened, we sat down as a literacy team and as a transition team, and we wrote a proposal to put in a $20,000 grant to get us the books that we needed for our students. And I think that same thing is going to happen when our third graders go to to Round Valley. I mean, I work with struggling third graders, and I know that they need the books that we have at Patrick McGarren, and they're not going to have the resources that they need at Round Valley. And I want that there for them in September. We have 16 days. We can't miss one day with our students right now. We have to test our students. My colleagues have data sheets they have to fill. We don't want substitutes so we can go to meetings and plan this. We can't do it. But we want to do this well. So if you pass this, I mean, I do wish that it was something that we were talking about 6 months ago.
3 minutes are up.
Okay, please consider spending some time with your stakeholders this summer.
Kelly Newgard, second grade teacher, and I've been a member of this school district since 1987. So I think I trumped pretty much everyone here. And I grew up in this area, so I'm aware of what change is. It's to make or become different and to alter. And to clarify, I'd like to say that we are not opposed to the change because we know that it's necessary to grow. But it is the manner in which this is being thrust upon us that we object. Thank you.
Hi, Joanne Jitto. I'm at the middle school. Unlike a lot of my fellow educators, I have had the opportunity to move year after year, and I've been in the middle school for 8 years. I have been in 7 different rooms, countless different co-teaching opportunities. It takes time. It just takes time. Moving, having a company come in, packing, unpacking, I can't even fathom what that's going to look like. Non-tenured teachers were mentioned. I heard that tonight. Are they going to hear tomorrow? If I were a non-tenured teacher right now and received a non-renewal on May 11th, I would have applications out on May 12th. Because wait and see doesn't always work. Tonight's meeting time was supposed to start at 7:30. It started 12 minutes late due to an unforeseeable circumstance. Then there was a 5 to 6 minute delay for another unforeseeable circumstance. How are you going to guarantee that we are going to be able to move all our buildings and all of our teachers and be done on time? So, my question is, will we hit the ground running tomorrow? There was mention that staffing will be in place by the June board meeting. That is after the conclusion of the current school year. Planning and preparation is key to the successful implementation of a plan. Due to the time limitations, how can the proper planning and preparation be implemented? As educators, we put our students first. We want to have everything in place for them. This includes the physical spaces, the lesson plans, and collaboration with fellow educators. How can we possibly plan all of that with a limited time frame? There is more to moving classrooms than changing desks. And with educators changing teaching positions, that's an added layer of planning and preparation. Now, as I believe Ben Franklin has said, failing to plan is planning to fail. I don't see how we are going to get this done. I believe in change. I just don't believe in forced, rushed change. Thank you.
Catherine Rehimaki. I live at 9 West Street in Annandale. I have a son who's a kindergartner at Spruce Run. He has had an amazing experience there. I've been very impressed with all of the staff at Spruce Run. I'm someone who believes that the best education is delivered by well-qualified, talented teachers who are empowered to do their job. And, you know, I think he's going to be fine with a big assumption, which is that the teachers can do their job next year. And what I'm hearing is that they're not sure. I'm deeply distressed that this very thorough presentation had multiple PowerPoint slides about how this was going to impact the students. There was a PowerPoint slide about how this was going to impact outside organizations. There was not a slide about how this was going to impact the teachers. And I think that's a huge oversight. The other oversight that I want to mention is that you concluded with an overall fiscal picture slide, and nowhere in there was using some of these cost savings to settle a contract with the teachers.
Hi, Jessica Cahill, 11 Wedgwood Drive. I don't have anything well thought out for tonight either, just a lot of thoughts floating around and listening to the meeting tonight and the agenda and whatnot. A couple of things that come into my mind, again, it has taken 4 years to come up with this plan. Nothing's really been discussed or presented formally to the township as a whole this year about this plan until 24 hours ago. You know, last night doesn't give much time to react or anything like that. I personally feel that in another 4 years, we're going to be right back in the same situation with the affordable housing that's going in. You know, some homes, I'm not saying that all affordable homes will have children in them, but some will have none, some will have three, some will have two. You may be looking at an increase of anywhere from 400 to 800 children. Have we evaluated that? Have we looked at that yet to see how that's going to impact us? Are we going to end up here again in 4 years in the same situation, you know, that we've been discussing for 4 years? So that's one thought that I have. Another thought, again, it's being very rushed. It's now right at the end of May. We're in June tomorrow. We want this to take place in September. While I think Ms. Newgard said that, you know, not everyone is opposed to change, I think everyone kind of gets where we are right now with declining enrollment. But is this the best way to address it right now? Do we need to act on this right now for next year? Could we wait and see what happens in the next year and further plan things out? I think that we are asking a lot of the teachers. I'm not on the board. I don't have all the ins and outs of the negotiations with the contracts with the teachers and the teachers union, but I think that we are asking a lot of the teachers right now to go out on a limb and do any extra for our students. The teachers are wonderful people, but let's be real, right? What are we looking at for this summer, and what are we planning for next fall? You know, I think it's only reasonable to expect that the teachers aren't in a great mindset right now with their contract, and now we're asking them to do extra. I don't know what to expect with that. So I would urge you also to take another year to fully think the plan out, consider it, before acting forward with anything. Thank you.
I did want to reiterate that we have had a current demographic study done, and it does indicate the information regarding the housing units and when they will start. They will start in 2 to 3 years. The birth rates and the correlation coefficients that are used still show the trend to continue down. So we will continue to have that revised annually because things do change, but the current demographic study does take into account.
Yeah, lower the mic.
Sorry.
I want to focus on one particular population that I work with, which is the preschoolers. I am the early intervention coordinator and transition person for the district, so I am often the first person that parents meet as a representative of this district, and I describe our wonderful preschool program and our wonderful preschool staff and the safe and effective environment that we've been able to educate our preschoolers in. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I am concerned about the change, the plan that is being proposed, that the preschoolers would be isolated from the rest of the district. One of the selling points that I've had with the parents coming in from early intervention is that their students often spend 2 to 3 years in the preschool, and then it's a very easy and nice transition to kindergarten and first grade. With this, they're pretty isolated. Also, with the staffing, I don't know how that would work. I've been going between the schools for 9 years, but with the plan that's being proposed, I would imagine that a number of other staff-related services, OT, speech, and so on, would have to travel between Patrick McGarren and Spruce Run, and that makes for a difficult situation. And finally, I'm concerned about the safety of the preschoolers when I don't know what the other programs at Spruce Run are going to be. I would just like to put that out there that I'm concerned about other entities being in the school and to be aware of the potential safety concerns for them. Thank you.
Sonia Dominakis, 56 Haytown, parent and teacher in the district. So I just want to jump back for a second to the goal of the whole ad hoc committee. The board states that it will not make any changes that negatively impact the educational programs to the students, how they're supported socially, emotionally, and intellectually. And I just wanted to share with Dr. Fianer, since we're in this listening, something that you may not be privy to. I've been in CTMS since 2013, and prior to teaching science, I taught 2 years of a computer literacy course, a course which no longer exists. In that time, since 2013, having been in the middle school, I have also witnessed the dissolving of a life skills program where students learn to cook and sew and things like that. That program, again, no longer exists, as well as a French program that we had, which was phenomenal in our district, no longer exists. And I understand that the effort, the reason behind some of those changes was to offer an increased academic time. We do have a full hour for each of the 4 core academic classes. And there were some sacrifices that needed to be made for that to happen. And currently, the students get half of the time with their Spanish teachers that they used to get when they had a full, when that was considered part of the full academics. So I just, my concern is with the new sections of, with the sections of 6th grade students moving into this building, how that's going to impact the unified arts programs. We've had cuts and we've had changes made where programs were lost. To me, that's a negative impact. For a student who's in middle school preparing for high school, possibly wants to take a higher level of Spanish or French, now if French isn't an option. For a student who maybe is a real adamant at cooking, that's no longer an option. So when we bring in those 6th grade sections to this building, how is that going to affect the robotics courses that we offer, you know, that's offered? How is that going to affect the teachers that already their planning is broken up into several 10, 20 minute chunks throughout the day, and their quote unquote lunch is at like 1:20. It's a long time ago without lunch. So I'm just nervous about how that's going to look in the long run, because in a couple short years, my own will be here. So not to be selfish or anything, but a little bit. Thanks.
Maria, real quick, because the students, they're not going to need to say their address, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted them to know
just
that.
Just their name.
Hello, my name is Emma Gregory, and I'm Catherine Brennan, and we are currently fifth graders. We feel that since our schools are saving money, we should bring back some of the programs that were cut, including French. In other words, we should also think of foreign languages as actual class instead of specials. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Heather Calabrese. I have three boys in the school district currently, three different schools, so I fully understand the awareness of trying to get to three different schools at three different times. It can be challenging. My concern tonight is that when I came to this meeting, my son said to me, "Mom, is Patrick McGarren closing? Mom, is Spruce Run closing? Mom, what is going on?" And I said, "Look, we're going to listen tonight. We're going to hear what everybody has to say." I didn't give them an affirmative, yes, this school is closing, or no, this school isn't closing. We're going to listen. What I'm saddened to feel while I sat here tonight is that it felt like a decision was already made. What I'm saddened to feel while I looked at many statistics put on the PowerPoint tonight, while I looked at the many numbers that we as taxpayers are going to be saving, while I have lived in this township since 2003, and seen my taxes raised, I see all of that, but what I don't see is there has never been a spot where these students, these experts, or these teachers, the experts that I entrust my children with, not the experts that you've hired as a board, to merely put projections on numbers and statistics. The expert that I entrust my three children's education for have not been considered. So I am saddened to see that this board is willing to move forward with the decision when I see so much support here for our students, our teachers, and our educators who are here for our community and has not been discussed. So I urge the board, before we move forward with any decision, which seemingly, if you can make it in 2 months, it shouldn't be a problem to make it within a year, or even next June and make it in 2 months, sit with the educators that you as board members have hired to entrust our students' education before you move forward with this decision.
Good evening. My name is David Malefsky. I live on Bennington Road in Annandale. Next September, my daughter is going to be starting kindergarten. A couple months ago, my wife and I attended the open house or orientation at Spruce Run. We got a warm, fuzzy feeling, and not to belittle it, it was very good. This has us a little bit concerned, and earlier, you had the nurse from Spruce Run speaking, and she was about to talk about kindergarten, the upcoming kindergarten class, and her time ran out. I would like to give my time to her so that she can keep talking about it.
Well, thanks. So I'll keep it short. Spruce Run has some, again, unique things that happen there. We have a sensory room that is designed for little kids. Preschoolers get to use that. We have a library that our preschool gets to go to. What's going to happen to that in your reorganization plan? What's going to happen, I know it was mentioned, our other services, the physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, where are they going to be housed and how will they interact with our students? Our preschool students that might be left at Spruce Run, we have students now that are able to spend part of their day in a typical classroom. What's going to happen to them? They won't have that opportunity to interact in a way like that, and is my understanding. Our first graders, just a few weeks ago, or it might have been last week, they got to go up to Patrick McGarren on a bus and ride over to Patrick McGarren and walk around the school and meet the teachers, and it was fabulous, and they were all excited. Our kindergartners will not have that opportunity because you won't be able to approve that trip before the end of school. Your next board meeting is June 25th. And I also just want to say that if not me personally, if I had known we were going to be closing Spruce Run School at the end of this year or reconfiguring or however we want to call it, I would have been packing up certain things that I know. These things need to go with me to Patrick McGarren or whatever nurse is going to be there. This is what they need over there, and this is what needs to stay here. I would have used up supplies. I would have gone over to the nurse at Patrick McGarren and said, what do you have? Let's not order. You know, I just put in a big order. I wouldn't have done that. So there are some things that we could have planned for, and we could plan for if we waited a little longer. Thank you very much, and thank you, sir.
My name is Sabrina Henneman, and I live at 2 Glen Eagles Drive, Lebanon. My first grade son has been in the Clinton Township School District for 4 years from preschool on and has loved every minute of it. I want to point out that, to my knowledge, only parents and teachers, staff, have been given the email last night that there has been no way to disperse all of this information to the general public of the taxpayers of this township, and in which case you can't get any opinions from a huge bulk of your constituents, the people who hired you guys. So I don't think you're ready to vote. Yet the website today was updated with a reorganization tab. There's nothing under it, but it's on there, which means it says to me it's a fait accompli. You're already planning it. The board's already saying, some members are saying, all right, I support it. You didn't even hear us and our opinions. How could you say that you support it? To hold that inside, listen, and then make your decision. I want to know that within the student capacity of each building, that to me seems slightly misleading because you might have a total number of seats per school, but there's only a certain number. You can't take open seats from, say, fifth grade and say, okay, well, we have a lot of fourth graders, we can use some of those open seats. You can't. There's always going to be some kind of surplus capacity areas within classes. So the numbers I didn't think supported all of that. The building capacity analysis chart from the 2016 feasibility study listed Spruce Run as two potential open classrooms, PMG 6, Round Valley 1, and CTMS 1. Now there's no construction being considered. So if there wasn't enough open classrooms in that part of the feasibility study, how are we suddenly have all this extra capacity? It doesn't make sense. What has changed from the analysis that was accepted and approved and created by you guys? A slight aside, the sentence about science classes now taught with technology-based applications, reducing the daily need for actual science laboratories to teach students, I find horrible. Students should be learning in actual hands-on. I think that should be reconsidered. A lot of the cons for this option B, which was option B in the original feasibility study, there were several pages and they were briefly flashed on the kind of history update, but a lot of those were not addressed specifically in this question and answer. So I still have all of these questions on three pages that I typed out of cons. So obviously I can't go through that in 3 minutes. One of those was in bold on there, no room to expand. Suddenly now we have room to expand, tons of room to expand. So how does that suddenly change from that one study in 2016, which was not all that long ago? One of the key triggers was listed to close a school.
Excuse me, ma'am, in 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at 1 hour. However, we will extend the time for the four people that are remaining.
I thought six people.
Four people, sir.
Good. Thank you. Michael Peniak, 58 Regional Road. I just want to say thank you for allowing me for the time to come up here and give my consolidated thoughts. I am newer to the district and I have two young kids, so I have a very long vested interest in the future of the school district. And for better or worse, you've all very much piqued my interest in it. In my opinion, the Board of Education should be a rather humdrum thing, but for some reason in Clinton Township, it's not. You know, I do also want to say thank you to the Ad Hoc Committee and the Board of Education. I understand, you know, this has been a very long, labor-intensive, time-intensive process, and these decisions are not made easily or lightly. My primary concerns fall into financial and also with the children. While I do agree that some form of consolidation needs to happen, I think the financials are still fuzzy and should be vetted out a little bit more in detail. We talk a lot about cost per pupil. I didn't see one thing up here that said what the adjusted cost per pupil would be under this new reorganization. I'm very interested to see what the cost savings would be with that, as it seems to be a large driver in a lot of the communications that we do get from you. Additionally, as it relates to change management, it's something that I do in my career professionally, and it's something that oftentimes, you know, is very short-sighted and given short shrift. I'm really hard-pressed if we're thinking about all of the stakeholders who are engaged in this, specifically the kids, the administrators, and most importantly the teachers, that all of their needs are taken into account. And quite frankly, with 15 or 16 days left in the school year, I don't think it's realistic for our teachers to have to plan for all of this change or to have to readjust their summer plans and their summer schedules to be able to accommodate this change, especially given the current contract environment. I think it's really... you know, does not end up putting our kids first. And like I said, and I'll recap because I want to give people some time here. You know, the change management piece, I think, is really key. And while I'm fundamentally in agreement and aligned to the reorganization, I would highly recommend or suggest that somebody on the board perhaps amend the resolution to perhaps vote simply on a reorganization, but perhaps revisit or recommend that it takes place at a later date, perhaps in a following school year, so we can properly vet through the change management and really put the stakeholders, the teachers, the kids, the administrators, and the parents at the forefront to be able to effectively manage this change. We moved into the school year this year. I had to move my kids out of their school district that they had been in for 3 or 4 years, move them into a new one. They're gonna have to change schools all over again next year. And that's a big lift in addition to moving. So personally for me, that's part of my vested interest as well. Thank you for the time.
My name is Amy Marks. I live at 5 Cottonwood Court. I have a daughter, Mackenzie Marks, who's 9 years old and is a fourth grader in Mrs. Caruso's fantastic class at Round Valley. Because we do have the best teachers, and that's why I moved here, so I want to thank all the teachers. And I'm worried about Mrs. Goad and Mr. Ruttenberg and all the other fantastic people over at the schools that may be shifting. So hopefully we'll do the right thing by all those fantastic teachers and administrators. I would address my comments actually to you, Ms. Superintendent. I've been coming to these meetings now for several years, and this is not the first process miss that I've actually seen that has infuriated the community and the teachers alike. And I think I looked up on LinkedIn and you're a managing director of a company. Is that correct for you? I'm not sure. If you ran a company that continually made these kinds of process misses and excluded stakeholders and angered your community and angered your clients, let's talk about they're your clients, and every time you sold them something, they are angry because you had glaring misses on things that you just did not do. And they are constantly bringing it to your attention. And the animosity that's in this room when people can't hear you and you have board members yelling at the community, and the fact that you guys started late and couldn't get your PowerPoint up in advance and made us all sit here and then have the audacity to tell people after an hour that they can't get up and speak should show you the next what if that you need to think about. The what if is, what if you had respectful board members here. Personally, if a man on a panel I stood on said, I'm proud of you, speak your mind, let me tell you something. I would never, Lana, I gotta say, I would never, I sit on international global panels with big companies. There's not a man at any big company that would say that with ever, on any panel that I'd ever been on, and I speak on a lot of them. So I'm offended. No, I won't listen to you, I'm sorry. I get 3 minutes, I get to say what I would like.
Mrs. Marks?
No, Ms. Grant, I'm not one of your students.
Please to go into recess?
No.
Looking for motion?
No. I think he can take it since he can dish it out.
Second, please?
I think he can take it since he can dish it out. Secondly, so what if you actually had a respectful board that treated their community with respect that pays the taxes here? That's your next what if.
Looking for a motion, please, to allow
us to
looking for a second, please, to reconvene.
Second.
Second, Mr. Moore. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in session. The two gentlemen who were here, if you'd like to make your comments, please come up to the two people who were here. I apologize.
It was me.
I apologize.
Mrs. Shanklin.
Okay. Hi, I'm Heather Shanklin. I live at 24 Craytown Road in Lebanon. I have the privilege of teaching in this district for 12 years. I would tell you it was the best 12 years in my life because of the experiences and the knowledge and the people I got to learn from. I was also lucky enough to be a part of the last big transition that happened here. I can tell you it was very successful, and at the end of the full year that we took to prepare for it, the students, the community, the families, we all felt a great sense of pride and accomplishment. My concern tonight when watching the presentation that was put together, and it was very well put together, I do see the need for a lot of the suggestions that were made. I do not disagree with those. My concern is the timing. I believe that well thought out plans are just that. They're well thought out and they take time. Unfortunately, in the presentation, I kept seeing and hearing the word I. I think at one point it said, a dream I have, I have, I have. My concern with that is that it's not taking into account the people who have lived through a transition before. Dr. Feyender, you're very fortunate to work with tons of teachers, administrators who have led a transition. They are instrumental in making this a success for our students. I highly encourage you to involve them in this process. Let them share with you the journey that they went on during that year. The plans we laid that first summer were revised and changed over and over and over again to get it right and to bring the community to that great sense of accomplishment and pride at the end of that year. You had mentioned that next year at this, if we waited a year next year at this time, we would just be doing the exact same thing. We wouldn't. You would have a year under your belt of planning and preparation with your administrators, with your teachers, involving the community. I remember during the last transition, there were surveys sent out to the teachers, to the students. The students had a voice, to the community, and their voice was included in that transition process. I think the best voices we heard here tonight were those two fifth graders. I think we would all agree that those were the best voices. Why wouldn't you want to hear more of that? Yeah. They're the ones that are going to make this a good process. You gave the staff a very nice compliment when you were talking about...
Mrs. Shanklin, I'm sorry, you're 3 minutes right.
Ego.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy MacIsaac, 24 Riverbend Road in Clinton. First, I'd like to say briefly, I was just at the high school. I have a daughter who is a junior who was admitted to the Spanish Honor Society. And part of the reason why is because she had that as an academic course during her middle school years. She had that life skills course. She still talks about it. It made such an impression, and I was very sad to see that go, and very sad to see that you were talking about saving all this money every year, and no specifics about where that money is going to be allocated will bring back those programs, which I think are very, very important. But more importantly, I wrote a letter to the board tonight with a couple other parents talking about a couple of things. First of all, the word disgust came immediately to my mind, and had to be in the letter. I was absolutely disgusted at the fact that that email went out and 24 hours later you were voting on it, blindsiding all the teachers, all the community, all of the parents. Yes, we've been talking about this for years, but none of us had any of these specifics until 24 hours ago. So you were giving us no opportunity to get our questions answered, for us to help make informed decisions about how we feel about it, which majority of us are not overwhelmingly opposed to change. It's the timing, it's the how thought out is this. For example, we haven't seen any floor plans. I haven't seen a before and after floor plan of what Patrick McGarren's going to look like. How much construction has to be done? How can that be accomplished in such a short period of time? How much is that going to cost? Have you gone out for bids on all this? I mean, how is this all going to be done in 2 months? We haven't seen any of that. We'd like to make an informed, educated decision. We haven't seen anything, you know, your projections for how much percentage of classrooms are used. I've walked through Patrick McGarren. I know that more than 50% of those classrooms are being used every day. They may not be packed with 35 kids or whatever that number comes from, but they are being used. I cannot see them at 47% capacity. I have no idea where you fathom getting that number. I'd be interested to find out if we had a chance to have more details before you voted. The science lab, also to echo that, disgusted at the fact that they would not be learning science hands-on with a lab, with a real live microscope. You know, if you can teach that online, okay, I'm interested in hearing specifics, very specifics. How are you going to teach that online? How are you going to replace those things? I think the big lacking in that email from last night was specifics. I emailed 13 very specific questions that we did not get answers to, and we feel uninformed, and now you're making a decision. And that is not a good feeling. I feel very disrespected by this board, as a community member, as a parent, as a taxpayer, and I am just disgusted.
Thank you.
So 24 speakers, thank you all for your great and thoughtful comments. No, everybody's comments are welcoming. So, well, let me just sort of address one thing, because I think I have to, with regards to my comments with Ms. Brennan. For those who feel that they are offended, let me be very clear that I will offer absolutely no apology. I don't do offense by proxy. Mrs. Brennan understands what I meant, right? We've spoken.
Kevin, let me.
Help yourself.
It's not women's lib.
I'm not trying to do, I appreciate the support of Ms. Marks. However, Kevin and I have a very mutual respect for each other on being on the board, and not only being on the board, but also as being an active participant previously. And knowing that I'm a new board member and knowing how I feel about not confrontation and everything, he was simply supporting me and letting me know that it's not something that it comes easy for me. So that was actually a very supportive comment for me in expressing poorly my uncomfortableness of this. So we are fine, and I'm offended, didn't even come to my mind, but go on.
Okay, I'm looking for motion, please, for an action item 18, AH001. Looking for a motion, please?
Motion.
Motion, Ms. Kowalski. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Dr. Ford. Any additional questions by members of the board? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brandt?
Yes. Mrs. Ralagota?
Yes.
Mrs. Zalowski?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan?
No.
Motion passes. Can you please read the executive session statement, please?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public. Whereas the Clinton Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation of which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2 et sec, attorney-client privilege, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session only for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subjects will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Michelle. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Alyssa, second. Lana Brennan, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're in executive session.
11:39.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Motion. Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The meeting is now reconvened. I'm now looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Second. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.